This is Where Did the Road Go? Our aim is to explore the fringe, to be true skeptics and question openly, to investigate the paranormal, bring light to the dark corners of history, and give a voice to the shunned of science. We deal in mystery and the important questions that these subjects bring to light. What is reality? Who are we? And why are we here? Join us on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com for a full show archive, links to all our social media, upcoming schedule, and much, much more. Now, join your host Soraya on this week's edition of Where Did the Road Go?
Yes, and welcome to the show. Tonight we have something special for you. We're going to have a bunch of people live here in studio, and I don't even know who we're going to have for total. Peter from the Finger Lakes... Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes.
You're close.
Yeah. Who have you brought with you?
A friend from Ithaca College.
Who got here before you? We've been talking for a while.
He's been working.
Pull the mic up to you a little more.
He's been working with us. He's from Ithaca College, and I'll let you introduce yourself if you want.
Luke, I'm an anthropology major at Ithaca College, and I shadowed the Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes for 6 months for a study.
Nice. And you have some very interesting research you were telling me about.
I do. Well, when I first started shadowing them, I did a study on the paranormal subcultures of upstate New York, where I studied the methods and the beliefs and the tools used by paranormal investigators, as well as interview people from past cases and how their experience affected them or influenced them from before, during, and after the investigation.
Nice. And that takes it to a whole nother level. Yeah, and you're an anthropology major.
Correct.
Okay. And we have Lorna.
Hi.
And I have those mics cranked up pretty good, so you don't have to talk right into them.
Okay.
I should pick everyone up. Is anyone else coming?
This is me.
Hey.
And we got Nate.
And you are?
Nathan Bobbitt.
And you do what?
I helped Lorna with the sound tonight. I have done a few things in the past, and I've known her for a while. So I do have a little bit of insight into...
Okay.
Kind of the tech person, I'd call him.
All right. Okay. And no one else? Everyone else had to leave?
Everyone else had to head on out.
That's too bad.
I know. It was a great show, though.
It was. The Beyond the Realm event, it seemed like it went very, very well.
It was fantastic. I totally enjoyed it.
It's good. Interesting.
And I enjoyed what little part I was there for.
Oh, you did a great job. Thank you.
All right. Do you want an actual chair, Lorna?
I know. You can take mine.
Oh, you're in a little one. There's one over here.
Someone wants to grab it.
Tiny chair.
You're already low enough to the ground. Get in a higher chair.
Bring yourself up the...
Up the far.
All right. So, a moment of discombobulation here. And we are going to discuss... we'll see what we're going to discuss, actually. We did this paranormal roundtable, and I was hoping that the people from Scranton there, now, who are they?
Ghost detectives.
Yeah, I was hoping they were going to make it up. They said that if they couldn't make it up tonight, we may work something out for, like, May for them. And they made a lot of the equipment that you're using, right, Peter?
Yes. The static meters and all that I use as trigger objects, they work really well.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So, you see your little dowel or something, you get the magnetic, and you hook up the machine right to the trigger object. And if something comes in, you know, the energy changes, it'll pick it up.
Yeah. Man, so. And he's made a ton of different stuff.
A ton of different, yeah. He gave me one tonight to try, and it's the same thing. It's, if anything comes through the hallway, it'll pick it up. So, I'm going to give that a try.
All right. Now, Luke? I'm terrible with names, but I do get them eventually. You actually shadowed Peter's group for like 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did your opinions of the phenomena change from before to after?
I didn't really have an opinion before. As I followed them and as I kept talking to Lorna, my opinion changed in the sense that I don't necessarily believe in ghosts or... kind of the rhetoric that you see from the media in terms of ghost hunters and all those shows, but rather it's a connection to the psyche of the individual.
Okay, all right. Like a projection from the psyche?
Yeah, in some sense.
And Lorna, what are your thoughts on this?
Manifestation is a powerful tool.
But you also believe that there are external spirits involved at times.
I believe that we do have realms, yes, and that we have activity and lives going on.
Now, do you think it's possible for someone's thought form to actually take on a life of its own?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I know this is a practice down in Tibet and such, where they call, what do they call them? Tulpas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, definitely. And actually, that's a lot of what we see. And we actually covered it kind of on the round table. Well, you guys kind of covered it. Of, especially with kids and manifestations. Because of the manifestation of the boogeyman, you know, the guy in the closet that's not there, but it is there because they manifested it. So...
And so do you think that's why some people have just strings of paranormal events going on? Because they're the ones manifesting them, even if they change?
Yeah, because it's a thought process. So if you become scared, something happens, you become scared, that intensifies the fear. The fear level intensifies the manifestation level. And it kind of goes haywire.
Now, what about people who have, like, a singular paranormal experience? One thing happens to them, nothing else ever happens. Do you think that's also manifesting from within them, or did they happen to encounter something at random?
They may have encountered something at random. Everybody knows I'm a widow. Do I have communication from my husband, like, all the time? Absolutely not. But amazingly enough, probably he's been passed away 6 years, and in the 6 years, I've actually probably encountered him 3 times.
Hmm. Okay. And so, how do you know it's him and not just a manifestation from you?
Because, I guess because of the work that I do, that it's not, because I'm not looking for it.
Okay.
And it just kind of happens.
If you were looking for it, you might actually see it more.
Exactly. Because even working as a psychic medium, most people come for closure. Mm-hmm. They come because they want to hear from their loved one. They want to know that their loved one is okay. They're constantly, oh, if dad or so-and-so, you know, if they were here, this would be this way or that would, this would, you know, things would be different or, you know, I wish dad was here. And they kind of dwell on it. With them, I would see a lot of manifestation around them.
Okay.
Because of the fact that they're
focused,
they
on
haven't it. Let go, and so that's where their focus is.
Now, is it manifesting the person, or could it be holding the person here?
It could be a little bit of both.
Could be.
It could be a little bit of both. You know, it depends on the situation.
Because I'm very on the fence about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I do believe there's far more to us than this earth. At the same time, I believe a lot of it is thought form and tulpas and unintentional manifestations.
Oh, definitely.
And people are so quick to throw a title on it. Oh, it's a ghost. You know, okay, so something moves. It's a ghost. Well, it could have been something else.
And that's just like if it's something growls, it's a demon, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how much stuff did you experience, Luke, when you were out with them? Move that mic a little closer to you. You don't have to talk right into it, but...
Personally, not that much, but I'm maybe a little bit different in the sense that for example, after I started shadowing them, I used to live on Albany Street, and my roommates started having paranormal experiences happening to them. However, I never saw or experienced a thing.
Hmm.
So this might speak to the power of belief, that if you don't have that, it's harder to have these experiences.
Possibly. But I also wonder if... some people are more open to these experiences, and that's what shapes our belief.
I was going to say that.
You know, if you've never... because I know people who are who are almost militant atheists. They've never had a single experience, but people around them have had experiences. And I wonder, is it that they're just closed off to that vibration of energy? Or is it that they just don't believe in it, so it doesn't happen to them? It's you know, which came first type of a situation. Now, Richard Dawkins had said something. Graham Hancock had asked him if he would ever try ayahuasca. And Graham's of the opinion that ayahuasca retunes the brain to another reality. And Dawkins said that if it could be proven safe, he would try it. But no matter what happened, he would just put it down to a manifestation of the brain. Which, A, says, okay, he's not actually open-minded to the experience. But he also mentioned taking part in experiments where they used the magnetic helmets. And he said nothing happened, and he was really disappointed. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's just not tuned there. You know, I mean, we're all so different that some people may be more open, just like Lauren is very open to it, and is not... I don't consider you a typical psychic.
No, I'm far from being a typical psychic.
You're not just throwing out tons of stuff left and right that people want to hear. You have a very down-to-earth view of it. Because you're not throwing demons on things that growl, because you understand the concept of thought forms and so on and so forth, which is, you know, a lot of psychics don't. They get an image in their head of what they're experiencing, and that's that.
Yeah.
And how have your experiences changed over the years?
I don't know as much as... I think I pay attention to them more than when I was younger. Because when I was younger, I would just, like, kind of blow things off and just took everything just as it came and went, okay, you know, I'm supposed to be here because I'm supposed to be here. You know, learning lessons in life and that life's journey. And I would just figure that was my job.
All right.
You know, I would just figure that was my job. Now it's kind of, I take it a little bit step further because teaching people that there's more to being human, that there's much more to us, is really, really important to me. And to take things and try to put them back into concept, what I feel is a good concept and a good perspective for people, rather than everything to be haywire, and bring an understanding and a balance to them, so that way they can actually function. Because a lot of them aren't functioning. And, you know, we've actually talked really heavy duty, the whole media effect thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Different books that have come out by different authors, you know, on, oh, there's this angel came to me and said this, you know, the only angels I've ever seen have been earth angels.
Okay.
You know, it's not like I'm seeing these things.
Yeah, there are some people who write down entire hierarchies of what's out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I went to school and I became a shaman. Okay, we all know what the real concept of a shaman is. You know, how do you go to school to become a shaman? Okay, I'm sorry.
that's a modern culture thing.
Exactly.
That's the in thing for the spiritual crowd is to be a shaman, but it's not something that you go to school for. It's something
right.
that is thrust upon you. Or in the ancient cultures, you had to go through an almost near-death experience to get to that point.
And they stayed alone. They stayed by themselves. Right. They didn't get out in the public. The only time that they stepped foot was to give a message.
Or to heal somebody.
Heal someone, yeah. I mean, otherwise, they stayed alone.
True.
So, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm at a wine tasting thing and I'm a shaman.
The media's great.
I'm enjoying the good life now. Because to me, it's kind of disrespectful to the true meaning.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely. Now, when during this event, you played the video of the girl whose eyes turned black when you were talking to her.
Yeah.
And you did an exorcism for her.
Yeah, if that's what we want to call it, yeah.
Well, what would you call it? That's what everyone there was calling it, because you kind of cast out whatever was in her.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, but like you said, everything's got a title.
Mm-hmm.
Everything gets a label. So I guess we would call it probably an exorcism. You know, to me, I was just getting rid of what didn't need to be there.
Now, would you have said that was something that she formed inside of her? Or was that an external entity?
I believe that was probably a little bit of both.
Mm.
Because of what was going on in her life.
Like an attachment, maybe.
And it was more of an attachment that just decided to make itself home. Mm. And it totally enjoyed the drama and the chaos and... And, of course, they fed it.
Right, right.
So.
Now, we were talking about this, too. You know, in that case, you used a more Christian aspect to it. But to you, it doesn't matter. You're just doing feeding into their belief system.
Exactly. Exactly, because that's what's important. Because I'm really not doing it. It's actually them doing it.
Hmm.
So following their belief system, because that's what's really key and that's what's important, is what they believe. Because they have to have faith.
And you said you went back there just recently.
Yes, we did.
And how is she doing now?
She's doing really good. She's back to work and doing real well. You can see a change. You can definitely see a change in the people that Lorna's worked with. You know, a lot of these people aren't working. They're just down and out, and they got a lot of issues going on. So...
Do you find a lot of times that's the type of people that end up with these type of manifestations?
Professional people. We've seen nurses. We get everybody. It's not just, you know.
But people in rough times in their life are more common or no?
Yeah, I mean, it can be. You know, if you're kind of down and out, you're more apt to pick up something or have an issue. Yeah, I guess.
And how many of these things have you guys investigated or looked into where... You think it's around the person versus around the place?
Both. I've seen people move, and they're sensitive, and they just draw it. I call them like a lighthouse. They draw the activity, so if they know, if spirits know they can see and interact with them, they're going to be drawn to them. So we had a little girl call us from just out of town. She's only 11 years old. Just like a little psychic medium, and she's interacting and seeing these spirits. She had a little boy following her everywhere to school, and it was pretty amazing. She could see him and interact. She thought he was like a little toy, you know, she'd have fun with him until he kept her up all night, and then it wasn't any fun anymore. You got to get rid of this thing. So Lorna went to that house, and she's just like Lorna. She can see and interact with him. Hmm. So, and she texts me. She goes, "There's an old man sitting in the car with me right now. And he's trying to get help. They're asking for help." I'm like, "Well," so I say, "Well, what is he asking for?" He wants to see his relatives or something. It's like they're confused.
Hmm.
So I got some interesting texts as I'm going back and forth and actually helping her communicate and say, you know, time to move on and have her cross them over instead of having Lorna. So it's actually working. She actually's done that.
Hmm.
So it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and rephrase that though.
Yeah, crossing over is
because crossing over is like a term. So many people use it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. For one, I'm sorry. We have no business. We're not God. We're not telling these people where to go. Okay? You have to cross over and go into the light. All right. I'm sorry, I don't know what's on the other side of the light, so I ain't sending somebody, whether it be a spirit or whatever, I'm not sending them someplace where I ain't been.
Fair enough.
So, you know, it's like, you know, they know where they need to go. Okay, they know where they should go.
And that's always been my question.
It's a loose term.
We're always want to send people into the light. Well... That could be destruction.
It could be Agda, the devourer of souls.
Exactly.
And that soul will be gone for eternity.
When I talk to them, though, I say to go, you know, look for the relatives, look for people that you know, and then move on that way, not just go to the light. But I use that term because people usually know what that means.
Right, right.
So I say, you know, look for people that might have crossed over or they're on beyond that realm already. So try to find your loved ones and... Because they seem confused, too.
Yeah.
Because she's like, well, he doesn't know. He's looking. So it's interesting messages going back and forth.
Well, and I think, too, it has a lot to do with how they passed away. Because we were talking about, like, head injuries. The girl that Peter's talking about, the little boy that was hanging out with her, she actually picked up at the hospital when she was in the emergency room. And evidently, this little boy died from a head injury. And so he almost, like, had amnesia. So he didn't know who his family was. So then bringing his family through to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was opening up that door. Because the family knew, But he was so preoccupied with this little kid and not knowing.
They're like hitchhikers, you know. They see somebody that's open and can see them. Hey, that girl can see me. I'm going to follow her, you know. That just makes sense, actually.
I love it when Steve said tonight, oh, I thought about sitting on a park bench and just having waiting for someone to come over and sit next to me and go.
That's awesome.
And wait for them to say hello to me and go, oh, man, you can see me?
That would be a funny experiment.
I thought that was totally great.
That was pretty cool.
So, Luke, you feel that these things are projected outwards in a more thought form sort of way.
Well, it's hard to say because there are definitely cases where there's an unknown factor. What I've been trying to do is break through whatever kind of language or rhetoric we have in terms of people's belief, and whether they're Catholic, whether they're Buddhist or Islam, and try to find some kind of commonality there.
Right, right. And what have you found?
That it's complicated. I mean,
it is. It's very complicated.
When you're trying to study the spirit or something that's intangible and something outside of our scientific paradigm, it's very hard to grasp.
Yeah. It's very hard to say anything definite.
Yes.
I don't think religion really plays a part of it, because we had the people there from, they had the Quran Bible.
Well, I think religion controls the face that's on it.
It does control the face, because they believe you're not. What they say, you're cursed, you're not haunted, you're cursed.
Right.
Because I asked them, I said, what do you believe in this? Well, we're cursed because we have activity. It's not paranormal activity, we're cursed. That's their belief system. So you have to change the way you, a little bit, how you go about things. So, but they still, I mean, we still got the...
Now, you mentioned using some form of holy water. Does that work mostly with people who are Christian, or do you find that works with everyone?
Actually, I find that it works with everyone. Is that not amazing? But the reason why it works with everyone is because no matter who they are, they have got that little question about the whole Christian faith in there. So
right, because the whole culture is kind of soaked in it.
Exactly. So it's been like, you know, I mean, my mom and I talk, and my mom is like 78. And when she hears, oh, the world's coming to an end, she says, oh, for crying out loud, when I was a kid, the world was coming to an end the next week. You just didn't know, you know. This was like, you know. So it's kind of like browbeated, you know.
Yeah.
Even with kids of different faiths, you know, going to school, the Christian segment of religion comes off very, very, you know, very, very hard and strong.
Yeah.
You know? So, and we all socialize. It's just the gentleman that was actually Muslim and is telling me, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
Yeah, you
I'm looking and going, why are you telling me God bless you? You know, hello, I'm sorry. You know, you don't have to do that because I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe in God. Why are you telling me God bless you? You know, so, yeah.
Well, they believe in God, just not the same God.
Yeah, right.
Well, and it kind of is the same God. Muslim isn't that different from Christianity.
Right, but still, you know, it's like, you know.
The same roots.
Say it the way, it, you know, your faith, your belief.
Yeah,
say that to me,
but
you know?
They did go along with us, and actually things got better, too. The TV was coming on. There was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. It all stopped.
Mm.
So we did our business, and... But it's just like, you know, a medallion or something. If you believe in that, it's going to protect you. It's a power of thought, too.
Right.
So it's more of a, I think it's a more of a self-thought thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think it's going to work for you, it probably will.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Manifestation and the human mind is a very, very powerful tool, a powerful weapon.
Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You played an interesting video, too, of... a woman in the hospital, and you were going to bring her some music, and you didn't bring the music, but music was on the tape of you talking to her.
Isn't that amazing?
It was very fascinating. And so what do you think was happening there?
I don't know. Maybe she manifested it.
Okay.
Or her mom, because of the fact that I got that lilac scent as I was putting her under hypnosis and took her to the garden, and you heard me ask her, okay, what's up with the lilacs?
Right, yeah.
You know, and the woman actually was terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked with her and gave her a little bit more time because when I first got the phone call, they were actually going to amputate her leg. Mm. Her leg was so swollen and it was just really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I did some work with her and like 3 days, her leg was actually back to normal.
Wow.
At that point when she was in the hospital where you guys saw her in the bed, she actually didn't qualify for rehabilitation because she was too strong.
Okay.
So, yeah, where she thought she was going in and she was going to have this done and that done and go through rehabilitation. And then when they told her, oh, no, you're doing fine. You don't have to go for rehabilitation.
Well, you have that x-ray thing anyway. You got to know, like, my back was sore one day. Mm-hmm. She goes, what's going on with your back? I'm like, right between your shoulder blades. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly. I tweaked my back. And she knew it. I didn't say nothing to her.
It's really, really funny. People that know me, like, in town and stuff where I live, it's like, they freak out if they get, like, behind me in the grocery store or I'm behind them. It's like they just can't wait to check out so they can get out of the store. And it's really strange because I'm sorry, I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to walk up and go, oh, your mother's coming through and make them bawl in the middle of the grocery store. I'm not, you know, I have picked up intense pain off of people. I was behind this lady, and it was so cold one day, and I could actually feel all the metal in her back.
Yes, I
and I couldn't help but say,
one.
Oh, my gosh, all that metal in your back, and it's so cold. And she turns around, how do you know I have metal in my back? And I was like, 'cause I can feel it. You know. So, no, I do make people really, really nervous. But I love it when they're behind me and whatever I bought unsuspectedly comes up to 666 on the cash register.
That's awesome.
People.
You could really mess with people with that.
I mean, I used to work as a cashier and, like, I witnessed the whole people thing firsthand. Like, mm-hmm. Lorna would come in to buy something and people would just be like, you know, hush, hush. And it was kind of like, whoa.
She's probably reading
You're
us right
infamous.
Now.
They love me.
So what do you make of, like, the music on the videotape?
That kind of audio phenomena happens all the time, and I don't have an explanation for it, and I don't... Most people don't, but it's generally accepted. I guess what I found in general in terms of, you know, Lorna and Pete and Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes is that, you know, as I said at the panel, is that it's real because it's real to the person that it's happening to.
Sure.
And whatever's happening to this person, they can't explain it. And they can't go to their local authorities or anyone else, so they call in Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes. And the main point is, it's, as Lorna said, healing and closure. That's what they get out of it. And, you know, the best teams that do that are the ones that don't charge and are in it just for that reason.
Right. And I think that's important because there are definitely people out there looking to just make a buck off of anyone's pain or stress that they can.
You should tell them about the $600 candle. And there's an interesting story that actually someone got ripped off with these secret candles.
Really?
I don't know if you want to go into all that.
Well, we can because it actually was really interesting. And this is like word to the wise.
Yeah.
Actually, a young man, and actually he was a student up here in the Ithaca area. And he was actually kind of gifted, and a co-student had passed away in some kind of little scabby circumstances, and the student actually appeared to him.
Hmm.
But he wasn't ready for it, so it kind of like freaked him out.
Yeah, big time.
And it happened a couple nights in a row. And for some reason, this psychic's name came into his head. And an area, a state. So he looked her up, and lo and behold, he found her. So he calls her. And he's telling her, you know, this guy is coming, you know, and he wants to get rid of all of this and make all of this go away. Because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't want... Right. Spirits hovering over his bed going, you know. So anyways, So she sends him a, she charges him $600 for a candle. And this candle is, he's supposed to follow all of her directions and burn this candle, and it's supposed to make everything go away. Now, Peter never told me any of this.
Nope. I tell her anything. I knew this, but I didn't
say anything. He didn't tell me anything.
$600. Wow.
And I said, oh, wait, it gets better. It gets better. So I said to Peter, I says, why am I getting money around this? And who is this woman? And I'm just carrying on. And Peter's just sitting there going, okay. Yep. Okay, Lorna. Okay. You know.
Because I don't give away and she gets it. So
right.
And
she got that.
So we went, so we go over to the house. And now he didn't tell me this and Peter didn't tell me anything. And I'm going, this candle, he says, that you burnt. I says, you called her back, didn't you? And he's like, yeah. He says, and then she wanted $900 for another thing to make everything else go away. And what was really strange was he had a check sitting on the table for $900.
Man.
So somehow she knew exactly.
So somehow she knew exactly. She was actually zoning in on him. It's almost like she chose him.
She wasn't so much a fraud as much as she had an ability and she was using it to take advantage of him.
Exactly. Right.
She had a gift. Yeah.
And I totally laughed because after I did the house cleansing and everything and got rid of everything, I actually had put a little message up on my Facebook. Oh, by the way, Sister So-and-so, don't worry. I sent it back free of charge. It's not going to cost you a thing.
I said, where'd you send them? Well, I sent it back to her. I said, oh, because that candle released even more.
Oh, it was
crazy. So instead
of
helping, she actually made the candle so it would release more activity.
So she could charge him for more later.
Exactly. And when he did burn a candle, it was crazy there. So it actually worked in her favor. And that's when he called us, because he realized something bad had happened after he burned the candle.
And it was crazy. They got, well, you've seen Peter's book with the photos and stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually where a lot of the photos were shot from.
It was crazy.
And then when I went over there with Peter, it was really, Peter had the cameras and everything set up, and they were clicking away, and they were taking pictures left and right. And we were in the bedroom, and this thing came flying up out from underneath the bed. Nobody else saw it, but I happened to catch it.
I felt it.
Went around Peter's legs, and it landed on Peter's leg. I'm like, oh, crap, Peter, it's on your leg. Move your leg. Shake your leg. Get it off
you. It was ice cold. My leg turned ice cold when that happened. Huh. I actually felt my leg turn, like, ice cold.
And so Peter shook his leg, and it came up and off his leg, and it went right into this guy's chest.
Hmm.
I mean, and this guy, he had no clue what was really going on.
He actually arched back his chest, like, when it...
I mean, I didn't say, look out, it's... You know, I didn't give him... It just went, and I went, oh, no, now I got to go to work, you know? I love my nonchalant.
Yeah.
Watching some of the videos of actually some what people would consider very serious, intense moments... I am just so...
Because you're used to it.
Nonchalant and kind of... It's actually kind of comical. It's like it'd probably make a great comedy, you know? It's like, oh yeah, I did it again. Okay, we're good.
It's like that girl that you put under and she said her name was Nicole. Well, I knew her name wasn't Nicole, but I didn't tell her that.
Right, right.
And she's like, are you sure? I said, you're talking to somebody else when she's under... She was under hypnosis, so there's no way she could fake that really, you know? I was like, wow, she's talking to somebody else right now.
Hmm.
That's pretty freaky.
I've had experiences my whole life, but I have the same sort of nonchalant response to things. And whenever there are other people there and they start freaking out, they get more freaked out than I'm not freaking out.
Yeah.
It's like, how is this not upsetting you? It's like, well, you know, it's just another thing.
Right? It's like, it's okay. It's cool. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Chances are it's not really going to hurt you. So we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Where Did the Road Go?
Where Did the Road Go can be heard first and usually live on WVBR, Saturday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Go to wheredidtheroadgo.com to ask questions of our live guests through the chat room. Where Did the Road Go is then re-aired on Dark Matter Radio and Deprogrammed Radio. You can download all shows for free on the website, and you can subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, or Vimeo. Additional content can be found on our video channels. You will also find our upcoming schedule, book reviews, blogs, free book downloads, links, and more. We are also on Facebook and Twitter, and if you want to help support the show, there are links to donate to us. Everything you need can be found at wheredidtheroadgo.com.
All right, and tonight we are talking with Peter Canellis of the Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes.
You got it.
You know, I had it down at one point, and now I'm screwing it up again. We got Lorna Reynolds, who is a famous medium.
Hello.
We have Luke St. Clair. Ha! I've remembered your name. And you are working, you're an anthropology student, and you did a did you do a dissertation on them, or are you doing
a dissertation? Study.
Okay, and your dissertation is on what?
That's still in development.
Oh, okay, all right, okay. Sorry.
That's and not radio ready.
Your name I've completely forgot.
Nathan Bobbitt.
Okay, and you've worked with Lorna.
Yeah.
All right, so what about media? Let's talk about the media's effect on the paranormal. And I don't know if you want to start on this, because it seems like something you've probably had some thoughts on, at very least, Luke.
Okay, well, I mean, the guy Steve at the panel said that there are more recorded experiences or more instances of paranormal activity than there was, you know, 30 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, to some point, it may or may not be true. It's hard to tell. But I think a lot of what that has to do is how the media has taken this and put it out there in terms of horror movies, shows, everything else. And I think it puts it in people's minds. People become more open to it. And I guess in a way it also allows people to talk about it more because it's a little more accepted. So whether or not that has increased or not, definitely the media has had an effect on, I guess, the work that you guys do. Have you noticed the change?
I think it's more accepted now, where before it wasn't. It's like when I grew up, my grandmother was sensitive. She didn't talk about it. She told us and the family members, but that's about it.
Right.
And she had a lot of experiences, but you just didn't go around talking about it back then. So.
Yeah, and I think whether you love or hate the TV shows that are out there, they are somewhat sensational.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they have brought this into popular culture and made it more acceptable, and mm-hmm. you have more and more people going, oh, no, I like that show. I like, you know, Ancient Aliens, or I like Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures or the 5 billion other shows that are now out there dealing with different paranormal phenomena.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think media effect and the fact that everybody has become more open has increased the manifestation of activity. It's opened up doors.
Spiritually,
that
aren't
normally open. Yeah. I mean, because I can remember being a kid, and I would never go tell my parents what I was hearing. I would just steal everybody's blankets in the house because I'd be ice cold, and I would just cover up my head and just go, okay, go away, and just leave me alone, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't live far from Rockland State Mental Institution Hospital, the big hospital there. And I can remember my dad, as we were kids, going by there in the station wagon going, I'm going to put you all there. You see those kids up there? This is where you're going. So I thought, nice. Well, if I tell my parents, you know,
they may really put you there.
They may really put me there.
With the straight jacket.
But, you know, now it's more open, you know, and people and parents react when their children say, Mom, there's something keeping me awake. I'm hearing something in my room. So Mom and Dad go in and they sit and they listen. And parents really do make a big deal out of it. They freak out because of the shows. Mm-hmm. They think it's something bad. They think it's something that's going to attack their children or, you know, possess their kids. So it's like, it has made an effect. Where 9 out of 10, it's either grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle that's passed away.
Right.
You know, a family member, and the kids are just a little bit open to it. And
And I think movies have had a similar effect. I mean, we you know, if you go back, we have movies like Poltergeist and plenty of haunted house movies prior to that. But when you get up to nowadays and you have things like The Conjuring, which seemed to scare the living hell out of a lot of people.
It was kind of based on a true...
Kind of, but actually the woman who lived through it has her own radio talk show, actually.
Yeah.
And she said nothing in the movie actually happened.
That's what, yeah. They definitely blew it up.
Yeah.
Well, it's TV. It's
entertainment.
It's entertainment.
She did say that some very extreme things happened, but they chose to leave some of those out because they were too disturbing.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't blame I have a cousin that actually lived in a house in New Jersey, and you know, growing up as a Jersey girl, we grew up with like the Jersey Devil, and you know, all of these little things out there. But they lived in a really, really old house, and they had some very, very strange things happen in that house, all the way to the basement actually filled itself with water for no reason and had trapped her dogs, and they couldn't get the door open and actually had to get the fire department to bust the door open.
Wow.
And the dogs were soaked. And at the top of the stair, as the water was just like It was just, and I have to laugh because my husband and I were at the house one night, and we were camped out in the living room floor, and my, her grandbaby's doll was laying on the floor, and like 4 o'clock in the morning, the doll starts talking. My husband's like, shit. How cold is it out there? Go out and fire up the bike. He says, this damn doll is talking to me.
Time to get rid of the doll.
Time to go, you know. It was actually like the animal that Peter and them had caught in that child's bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, starting off all by itself. I don't know if you were there when he showed that.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
She said that. I said, well, you know, I'm kind of skeptical. I said, I'll put this up here and we'll see. And it didn't make a noise all night. And then 3 o'clock in the morning, it goes off.
I think I actually cleaned that one up for you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And it actually stops. It didn't go through. It actually stopped its talk, and which is unusual because usually they go through their whole spiel.
Yep. It was like it was skipping.
It skipped, and then it talked, So, and I was shaking it after, and it didn't show all that, me trying to debunk it and trying to, you know, squeeze it and actually make it go off, because you really got to squeeze it to make it go off. So checking the batteries, you know, with the because people say, well, the battery's low. I'm like, no, you know, I have battery checkers and things like that, so.
See, the other thing, too, when we were talking about
check that.
The Conjuring, that was Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
And they have been almost fairly, as far as I'm concerned, they've been outed as fakes. And whether they had any genuine abilities or not, they've been shown to be hoaxing things on numerous occasions, including possibly the Amityville case. But there was some case where I think the people who, whatever they did, the people came to them and said, this turned out to be, you know, he had some psychological issues, et cetera, and you told us he was possessed. And they said, you know, and they threatened to sue her. And she said, you know what, if you just keep your mouth shut, it makes for a good book.
Mm. Well, I have to laugh because I went to go see The Conjuring with my daughter and my son-in-law. And I got so tickled because I had actually brought some paranormal equipment that was still in my purse from when Peter and I had been out. So I took the periscope out and stuff, and I set it up down there in the theater. And there was probably maybe 40, 50 people in the theater. All the lights are going off, and I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing. My daughter's going, Mom, shut that stuff off. They're going to think you got a bomb in here or something. I'm like,
or worse, that you're filming
it. This is like totally cool. I says, because just stop and think about this. I says, how many ghosts are in here? Learning how to haunt. 101.
101 haunting. That's funny.
But I think that stuff also does influence our expectations.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and that adds to the face and maybe makes it a little more hostile when it may not actually be hostile. Right. I mean, this stuff may, you know, even whether it comes from inside or external, I think it does respond to how we respond to it.
Exactly.
And I think you see the same thing in a lot of paranormal fields, whether you're dealing with alien abduction, the people who are very frightened by it have very negative experiences. The people who are not frightened by it have very positive experiences, and sometimes they change and morph over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same thing with an altered state of consciousness. If you fight it, you have a bad trip.
Exactly. Well, actually, tonight, when we did the past life regression show, tonight, I actually pulled someone from the audience and did a past life regression with them. And Steve Alvarez and his wife, Melanie, actually, as I was doing the past life regression, Steve was taking down the information, and he had actually looked up everything.
Nice. And did he
and was
anything?
Able to confirm.
Nice. And that's always fascinating.
And the woman had absolutely no recollection of anything that had happened to her while she was under hypnosis or nothing about her past life or anything. And you actually got to...
Yeah, I was behind the soundboard, and I threw on a set of headphones, and like I could hear up close and personal like what was going on, and just how like she pulled out the what was the lady's name or who was it?
Her past life, Sherry.
But she was able to like pull out these answers, and I heard like up close and personal like actually what she was saying, and it was very. It was very amazing to just know that that could actually happen.
And then for Steve to speak up, and after I brought her up out of hypnosis, because she had no clue what we were talking about.
Right.
And her husband didn't have the opportunity to tell her. So it was, and Steve was going, oh yeah, this bank was in such a town, and in Oklahoma. I said, do you ever have any draws towards Oklahoma? She's like, no. But yeah, her past life was in Oklahoma. And she was actually a secretary for a banker there in 1920. And I was like, gee, I says, what's really interesting is you liked ballroom dancing. Because, you know, 1920 was right. Back in the day of, you know, the roaring 20s, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for her to like ballroom dancing. And she was 19 and not married, which is actually unusual for that time period.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
Do you find that there's an average amount of time in between people's past lives?
Some people, there can be a huge span. How much time is actually between that time? It depends, because they can get like stuck, and they're really not stuck within a dimensional period, but it's almost like that space, that realm in between life.
Have you ever regressed someone to that point in between
yes.
lives?
Oh yeah.
And what do you find?
It's dark. It's cold.
Really?
There's nothing surrounding them. Just darkness. All the way to into the womb, and all the way to birth.
Okay, because I know I have heard others say that when they're regressed in between lives, they find themselves planning their future life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever encountered that?
No.
Hmm.
No. Mm-mm.
So it's always just kind of a nothingness?
It's a nothingness.
Huh. All right. And what do you make of that?
I think it's just a stopover in between. I think maybe it's the nothingness is just a whole cleansing of the soul.
Okay.
And the spirit as being prepared to either join others, family members. Because from what I understand, what the spirit goes through here on Earth is just so horrendous that when it does cross over, it needs that period. It needs that cleansing period in order to move on.
Okay.
Otherwise, it just hangs out here.
Now, someone had asked an interesting question at the panel about, you know, if there's reincarnation, but there are ghosts, how does all that work? My thought is that, A, there's no sense of time when you're outside of this life, first of all.
Exactly.
And there could be, you know, like many ancient cultures have ideas of different parts of us. You know, there's a part of us that's attached to the body. There's the part of it that's the higher self. There's the spirit in between. And what do you think about all that?
I think the higher self is our spirit, so it's that inner self.
Right, right. Well, yeah. I guess I meant spirit as sort of like an individual, more ego-centered
sense of self. I couldn't pull that apart. I think we're two.
Two?
I think we're two.
As in higher and lower self?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the human being the lower self.
All right, Peter, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think what she said is true. I mean, it's hard to tell, but I don't know.
I think the gift of spirit, I think when spirit actually entered human, is what actually created us as we are now.
Okay.
And I think they have free will. They can go and be where they want to be.
Definitely.
If spirit wants to go to wherever in the world, they're going to be there. It's not like they're stuck or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's like really, really funny when I sit and I watch these ghost hunters and stuff go, oh, you need to go into the light, or you need to do this, or you need to... Who are you talking to? Right. They've got more free range and can go wherever they choose to go. They're not tied down. Only tied down if they choose to be tied down.
What I'm often amused by is when they go in saying, oh, we're going to go help these people, and they don't do anything but collect evidence, and then they leave, and
I see that a lot.
It's like, what did you do to help?
Yeah. Like, we got some great EVPs. See you later.
Yeah.
And then people got the same activity. It's like, you didn't help these people at all, because we actually try to get closure. So I think that's a difference between our group and other groups. It's like, okay, you got evidence for them, but what did you do for the people? So
and what do you think is the when you say closure, how do you define that?
Well, we either try to fix the situation, either try to stop the activity or comment, or educate the people so they can deal with it. So there's a lot of things. It's a lot of it's educating people and letting them know what's going on.
And if it is manifesting from them, it seems like getting them to deal with the thing that's causing the manifestation.
Exactly.
Bingo, yep.
Exactly.
Because it could be them that's amping it up. I said, you're making it worse by fear, because a lot of them feed it with their fear. I'm like, you see me running around, I'm not scared. And the biggest thing is to be calm and walk in the house. They can't believe I walk down the basement, it's dark, and I take a flashlight. I would never do that. I'm like, I'm not scared. There's nothing down here.
I mean, when somebody walks up and tells me, I have a demon, okay? It's like, if they're telling me that they have a demon, then most certainly they have a demon.
Right.
Because they manifested that demon. So, therefore, they manifested it. It's theirs. And this is one thing that I learned with hypnosis. If they manifested demons, are the demons real? Yes, they are, because they manifested them.
Okay.
All right? And it's theirs. So what I actually will use is hypnosis and take them down to where they can actually communicate with their demons, and they're the ones that have to get rid of them. And thank goodness I'm actually very, very good at what I do, because it is dangerous, and I have had my recliners totally ripped apart.
Really?
With people battling their demons.
Like by them, like just...
By the people, yeah.
Okay. Nothing paranormal.
And thank goodness they can't get out of the chair.
I always wondered
about that. I am good at what I do. This is a huge, huge thing. And New York State is probably the worst. You can become a hypnotist at a crash course at the Holiday Inn for the weekend.
Okay.
Oh, wow, I'm a hypnotist. Now let's bring in the spiritual factor. Oh, I can do past life regression. They have no clue what danger they're actually putting themselves in.
Now, what kind of danger?
Well, you don't know who you're going to bring up. Mm-hmm. You're rolling that calendar back. You have no clue who you're bringing up. You could bring someone, a mental patient that was a mass murderer from an insane asylum. You could bring back someone that is in a battle fighting someone that could actually jump up out of the chair and physically attack you and possibly kill you. Why would you want to put that person that's totally innocent
in that situation?
Into that situation. And then they're going to come up out of hypnosis, and their hypnotist is laying there like a bloody mess, and and that person's going to jail, okay? Well, it's not my fault. I don't remember a thing, okay? Because this has happened.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I know hypnotists that have gotten choked. I know hypnotists that have gotten, like, punched in the face, attacked. because they weren't ready for it.
I see.
I asked you
they
that.
They weren't ready for
and
it.
The girl
you
was
know?
Under hypnosis. She was getting all... I said, is she going to jump by the chair and choke us, or what's going to happen? Because you worry about that. It's mm-hmm. like, you mm-hmm. don't... Well, how much control do you have? Because I get agitated.
I have hypnotized some very, very big men. And I'm totally confident. I'm good. They're not getting up. So I'm good.
And actually, if you look on our YouTube page, we put up the video of you hypnotizing our co-host from The Last Exit, James, where you brought him back through a few lives. And I can tell you, he was not a believer in that type of stuff necessarily.
Exactly.
And he's the type of person where I was afraid maybe he wouldn't even take it seriously. But then he told me, no, I really want to do this. I want to see what happens. And I remember walking upstairs just as you got done, and he had the most confused look on his face.
Yeah,
because you had just brought him out of it, and you're going, do you remember anything? He's like, no. And when he finally watched it, he's like, that's creepy.
It's like, are you going to put me under hypnosis, Chad?
Now, Luke, you said you weren't able to go under?
No.
At all?
Nope.
So why can't you put him under?
It's a block.
Okay.
Because of the fact that he is... so analytical.
Uh-huh.
And he has to analyze everything. And he has just got this whole thing. And it's really strange because, I mean, I hypnotize military people. I've hypnotized CIA agents, which actually aren't supposed to be able to be hypnotized.
I was going to say.
So, I mean, I've actually been around the loop. But there's certain individuals that just put up those shields and those borders. And I mean, I could insult Luke, but it's not the case. But generally, someone with an IQ below 70 is not hypnotizable. But we
really?
Know his IQ
yeah, he's
is way over.
70.
Right.
Like, it's just... It's
thank you.
Now, why is it that people with lower IQs aren't hypnotizable?
It's their mind function. It's their wiring system. The way that it just doesn't connect. They can't stay with it. Hmm. You know, when I talk and I say, okay, I want you to focus on this. I want you to take a deep breath in. Once they let that breath out, they've totally lost focus. Hmm. Where if I'm saying, okay, take a deep breath in. 1, 2, 3, let it on out. Take another deep breath in. Most people stayed focused with that.
I see.
Because breathing is like the key part.
I think it's relaxing. When you put me under, I was so relaxed.
Breathing is really, really, really important. And when, you know, we talked today when we had did the whole segment on the journey of the power within.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is.
Now
our energy comes from within.
You weren't able to be put under either, were you?
I've never hypnotized.
Oh, you've never hypnotized.
I haven't
someone.
Tried it.
No.
Yet.
All right.
He thought it was freaky.
No, I want to have the experience.
And that's another thing too. Is he may want to so badly.
Mm.
Maybe a few beers that, or something, just kind of mellow you out. Just
So basically, his analytical mind can't let go long enough for you to put him in a trance.
Exactly.
Because you got to relax, right? I mean, you got to.
Yeah, and he has a hard time. He's just like
toning down.
I mean, I had a very good friend of mine. Her husband was military, and he was like, and he was laughing at his wife because she was coming to me for hypnosis, and he's like, oh my gosh, you know, this there ain't no way. She can't hypnotize me. And he actually lost a $500 bet to his wife. Ooh. Because he went down like a ton of crap, okay? So.
Myself, I've never been hypnotized. I don't know if I could be or not. But I can put myself in a pretty deep meditative state.
Right.
So chances are I could probably be hypnotized if I allowed it. But I also have what he has, that deep analytical. I have to take everything apart and analyze it. And every time I've had a paranormal experience, the first thing I don't have a fight or flight response. I have a let's examine this response.
Right. And no, you're definitely a good candidate. Yeah. It's just like the lady that I pulled up tonight. I've never hypnotized her before. Generally, anybody I pull up on stage,
just, right out.
Just like I that. Have no issues. I mean, they don't get past 80.
No.
I mean, you know? Most of these people walked in tonight and probably have, you know, I think some of them have had no past association with you. They just, and you were just able to walk around the room and be like,
when we did the psychic gallery tonight.
You just walked around the room and you like talked to each person.
Personal messages, yeah. The flowers.
Yeah, I actually was able to do a reading for everyone tonight in the room.
Nice.
So that was really, really
and
nice.
I do think we should thank anyone listening right now who came to the event today, the Beyond the Realm.
Oh, definitely.
For showing up.
Because I like the stories, too. People tell me.
Right.
We learn from that, too. Anything we can learn from and benefit to
it was,
help other people.
I think doing Beyond the Realm, one of the really high points for it was everyone was able to communicate. So our audience was able to ask questions, and they were able to talk amongst themselves and bring it back to the front of the forum. So it was, and get responses and thoughts and and so I really, really enjoyed it. I would totally do it again.
And one of the comments we have from the chat room, I forgot to turn it on earlier, was that some people that say that the light that we send people to could be a trap.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, I heard somebody say that. I don't remember who it was that started it.
Somebody said tonight that they use the term the light as because most people know what it means.
Right.
It's not like you can go in depth and put a name on anything, but it's just more of kind of a generic name that you can give something.
Yeah.
So
a label.
And labels, are, however useful, can often be, I think, dogmatic. And that's the
definitely.
Problem. You know, you need to call it something, but as soon as you call it something, it defines it in a way that, that is harder for to get beyond it in the future.
Which
I think is what we'll you're trying to do.
Yeah.
We'll give things names, and we give things names that we don't understand. Things that we don't understand are generally bad. So they get bad names.
Yeah.
I have to laugh because I get completely associated. We had a psychic up at Rolling Hills. And she communicates with spirits through drawing pictures. And so she was drawing away, and she had a whole room audience full of people. And she said, "The spirits are telling me Miss Lorna is the most powerful witch." She could have said anything besides saying that I was like the powerful witch. And I went, "Oh my gosh, why did you do that?" I said, "Do you know how stereotyped that is?
It's a label."
It's like, I try staying away from that so much. You know, I may joke, and I do have a great broom collection. But
I mean, your nose looks fine to me. I don't know about anybody else.
But they don't kickstart well. Actually, what I have to laugh because when I tripped and fell on the sidewalk, and I, like, totally bruised my nose and stuck my teeth through my lip.
Ooh.
I told everybody, I says, "Yep, those down drafts are terrible. You gotta watch them." But it was just like, why put that out there? You know? It was a label that was given hundreds, thousands of years ago because people didn't understand something.
Yeah, and it was abused as well.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, everybody talks about Salem, 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 you know.
Salem was nothing.
Salem was nothing compared to what went through Europe and Norway and, you know.
And the things that were done to those people are just so horrific.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean, I'm sure the people in Salem didn't have a good time, but it was nothing compared to the torture over there.
I had to laugh, though. My dad, and this was like a funny personal thing, my mom was cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and the rack wasn't set right in the oven, so when mom went to pull the turkey out, the turkey began to fall. So I ran, and I caught it, and dad went, "Oh, my God, you're going to burn your hands." And I put the turkey up on top of the stove, and I went, "Dad, I'm fine." I says, "Don't you know? Good little witches don't burn twice. We learned good. We learned the first time. We're not That's stupid."
Awesome. So what is, have you tried your past lives?
Actually, what I get from a lot of higher ups that I totally respect and that are very well known in the hypnosis field, these are like colleagues, their read on me is that this is something that I have done lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. I always laugh because I do have this little block that I've put up. Could I be famous? Oh, heck yeah. And for some reason, I always stop myself from crossing that opportunity point.
Maybe because what fame can do to people and how it can corrupt.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like, and I laugh because when I do shows for other people, I say, don't worry about it. I'll make what I'm worth, you know, because they'll go, oh, well, I'll pay you. I'll go, no, just wait. We'll do this on a percentage basis. I'll make what I'm worth.
Mm.
And they're like, well, okay, yeah. And so, no, I do good. I walk away really well when I do different shows out of the area. So I can't complain, because people have like agents and they have this terrible, terrible amount of money and high demands. And I just kind of look and I'm like going, and generally I walk away with more than what they demanded. So
now, Peter, have you ever been regressed?
No.
How come?
We just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I want to. I just haven't had a chance to do it yet. So
he's been like really, really busy with work.
It's been crazy, but I do want to do that. I want to see
who else.
Why? Yeah, what I was and why I'm attracted to certain
things. Now, I believe you said you've never pushed someone to the future.
You know, it's amazing. Do you really want to?
I would think it would answer certain questions, like whether or not how much stuff is pre-planned in our lives, like how much free will do we have? Because if you push someone to the future and then everything, without telling them what was coming, and those things all play out, I mean, it doesn't solve the question, but it definitely gives you something else to work with.
Are we charted?
It could. Well, of course we're charted.
That's what I mean.
We are charted.
We're charted, but our whole future's planned out. That's what I mean, yeah.
We are charted.
So,
because my sense is that we have some general plan for our lives, but that we can totally screw it up.
Well, that's, you know, while we were talking, one of the things that were brought up was about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian outlook on, you know, through some religions and stuff on people that commit suicide. And my outlook on it is, I'm sorry, no, they're fine. If it wasn't their time to go, then they wouldn't have gone. Something would have intercepted that moment, you know? And if nothing intercepted that moment, then it was their time to go.
Because I've often driven down a road and there's all these trees along the side and I think, you know, I could just turn the wheel and drive into that tree. But I know I'm not going to.
Right.
And that makes me wonder, like, could I? You know, it leaves that question there. Like, do I actually have the free will to do that? Because I know I won't.
Mm-hmm.
So is it even possible that I could?
Well, of course you could, but I think you know better.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, yeah. What point do we have? To what point do we have free will? And to what point is everything predetermined?
Everything is pretty much so predetermined. It's really, really strange. It actually says in the Bible, and it talks about our life being encoded in our hands.
See, I would think of it as more of a dynamic thing. Like there are certain events that are supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that how we get to them.
I always wonder whose TV show we're on. Oh,
maybe it's our own from a higher perspective.
Exactly. Go. No, seriously. It's like, okay, this is great, you know. And who's watching us, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows, right?
I think John Trudeau. Are you familiar with John Trudeau?
No.
John Trudeau was actually very, very big back in the 60s. And he was a Native American gentleman. I'll hit this really, really quick. But John Trudeau spoke And at first they just thought he was just this burnout hippie. But what he was speaking was actually like really, really very deep. He was, you know, like I said, he was Native American. It was very, very deep. And I think probably the one that I really like is about the cogs, that we're all a cog in the wheel, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And John Trudeau was actually threatened. You know, you cease. You don't go out and speak anymore, you know?
By who?
Officials.
Okay, all right.
And unfortunately, his wife and daughter ended up mysteriously dead.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Which still didn't shut him down. He actually had, I think it was like Alcatraz, the island just outside of New York City.
Uh-huh.
He actually took that over.
Oh, San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah. He actually took that over.
Really?
No, well, no, it's outside of New York City.
Alcatraz, San Francisco.
Okay, which
Rikers?
One?
Rikers.
It's not, was
Rikers
it,
Islands.
Was it yep. Was it empty for a while?
You're
this one was empty for a while.
You're thinking Alcatraz was empty for a while.
Yeah, okay.
A long while.
Because they took it over, like Native Americans. Somebody took it over.
The Native Americans took it over.
Yep, that was empty.
And that was actually John Trudeau had started that. They did a huge arts village and everything there.
Huh.
And then, you know, they made that home. That was their island. That was their stand. That was their home. And then the government said, you can't be there, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And they had squatters' rights there. But yet they moved them all out because they threatened them with arrest, you know, if they didn't leave the island, so on and so forth. But he still goes and he speaks around the country. And he's really, really interesting. And what he has to say is very, very powerful. You just got to kind of listen.
Right, right.
So, no, John Trudeau is awesome.
All right. Actually, I wanted to throw this one at you. I'm sure you're probably familiar with Jane Roberts.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on her?
I really have never put much into it, so...
Okay. So you never, like, read her stuff or anything?
No.
Okay. See, no. I've always had issues with channeled stuff. I've always kind of been very skeptical of it. Hers is the first channeled stuff I've ever read that was very specific. That talked about things that we didn't know about when she was channeling it and turned out to be accurate. But of course, some of it you can't verify.
Yeah, well, that's like today we're actually talking about Mother Shipton.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 1400s, Ursula. She talked about everything that's even going on today.
Hmm.
She was from Norfolk, England.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
The Sleeping Prophet, too. He said a
Edward
lot of
Edward Casey, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things came to truth.
Yeah, well, and Edgar Casey was more up, but just he stop was. And think. This woman that lived in a cave.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes. In the 1400s.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Talked about everything all the way up through to even what's going on now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, you know, what'd she say? And these will be true?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, so let's go. Peter, people can find you where?
Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes website, and you can look us up. And I'm on Facebook, too.
Is Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes.
Yeah. Also, same name. Yep.
Okay. So and it's Ghost Hunters of the Finger Lakes, not the Finger Lakes Ghost Hunters.
Exactly.
And Lorna, people can find you on Facebook?
They can find me on Facebook, and I'm located in Moravia, New York, the old mecca of spiritualism here in New York State.
Really? How and, so?
That's actually where Mary Andrews did her readings. That's where Abraham Lincoln and his wife spent a lot of time at seances.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I did not know this.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We should get him out there. Go out there.
Oh, yeah. Indian Mound Cemetery is all heavy-duty ley lines and stuff. And,
really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
A lot of history out there.
Most people I know from Moravia just go, yeah, blink and you'll miss it.
No, there's a lot of history.
That's what they
lots
usually
and
say
lots
that.
Of history. We actually talked about the Templars, the Knights Templars that were there, and a lot of our government's decisions were actually made right there in Moravia as far as our borders and so on and so forth. So, no, Moravia's got a lot of history behind it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
All right. And Luke, is any of your stuff online?
Well, find me on Facebook.
and Luke St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you don't have a website or anything?
No.
Now, you did video work when you followed the Finger Lakes Ghost Hunters, right?
A little bit, but I don't have that on a website.
Okay.
Or anything.
All right. That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if you like did sign or put it up or anywhere. No.
Hey, he presented it at a conference, okay, with the state, which was totally awesome.
Yeah, because I went into the Northeast Anthropology Association conference last year.
Nice.
So I presented there.
And how was the response to it?
I generally got more people interested only because my topic was not as dry as some of the others were.
Fair enough. Well, I thank you all for coming up tonight. And we'll have you back again sometime soon. And hopefully we'll get the group from Scranton up, too, maybe in May.
They're a great bunch.
They are good.
I can't remember the name of the TV show. What's their TV show?
Ghost Detectives.
Okay. And you can find that on the web, and I think you can watch most of the episodes right on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, you can. And you got to make sure Bob drives the hearse up. It is, like, totally cool. Actually, they have a couple of them. I would just love to get in the back and just do this number.
Oh, gosh.
No.
That'd be awesome. Drive around town.
I did have another thing from a listener, this one being Eric, who you know. And Eric said that Eric had actually managed to overdose one night on heroin, and he died. And he saw only blackness.
There we go.
And then he was brought back to life. Mm-hmm. I don't know so much that anyone revived him as much as he just managed to wake back up from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Like I said, when it's your time, it's your time. You know, I mean, otherwise something's going to interfere. So, Eric, you definitely need to be here, sweetheart.
Definitely. Somebody was looking out for him.
Yes, luckily.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of his relatives ratted on him the last time I was here.
Yes, that's what he said. All right. Well, I thank you again so much, and a great event today down at the Ramada.
That was fun.
And thank you for coming.
Yes.
I loved having you on the round table.
Wish I could have been there a little longer, but maybe if you do another one.
Huh? We should.
We should investigate a place with him, take him with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if we do that, we'll put it up on the website.
That'd be good.
And if you want to see the hypnosis, I don't know if I mentioned it, the hypnosis you did of James, it is on the YouTube for Where Did the Road Go. So go to Where Did the Road Go and just click on either YouTube or Vimeo. The whole hypnosis from beginning to end is up there.
And are you guys going to be putting up the Paranormal Roundtable? I know that you did a lot of the filming on it.
I have to see how it came out. Camera apparently was having some issues with focus.
Uh-oh.
Really?
It does happen.
Well, it was a darker room, too.
Yeah.
So
I like working in the dark. I mean, no.
If you do the best work in the dark, right?
When in doubt, switch to manual.
Yeah.
I like working in the dark. What can I say?
All right. Next week I have Steve Crichton on. We're going to be talking about the lost. What is it? It's the lost. It's a lost chamber in Egypt. He's looking for with the Hall of Records. And so we'll be talking to him and his research on Egyptology next week. The week after, I have Aaron Gullius and... why am I drawing blanks on people's names? Aaron Gullius and... I'll tell you in just one moment. Mike Cleland. Sorry, Mike. Mike Cleland and Aaron Gullius, we're doing part two of our history of UFOs, kind of an alternative history as we look at it very differently than most people do. So that's the next 2 weeks of shows. We're going to take you out with some Psyche Corporation. This is Nightmares. Last Exit for the Lost is up next.
Shut the closet door. It's under the floor. The monster's there. Don't leave me here among these ghosts. You promised me nightmares the day I was born. You promised me hellfire. You were so sure I grew up waiting. Doesn't scare me. I want the vampire. side of your suffering, bitterness, suffering, offering doom, 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 doom. Sick of waiting for your curses to catch up to me. Burn me, chew me, slake me, thrill me. I don't want the unicorn, I want the bloodsucker. Modify the uniform, cause I'm a monster. Catch up to me, burn me, chill me, slake me, thrill me. This is a sound I've heard before. It's like a voice asking for more. Ma chair éclate à cause des ailes. Home grown spectre de prima bella. Give me the nightmares, this death doesn't scare me. I want the vampires and I want the glory. Now ammunition, give me an Armageddon. Give me the daring to forfeit ordinary dreams for the cost of pleasing humans far too steep. Give me the nightmares, cause death doesn't scare me. I want the vampires and door, it's under the floor, the monster's there, yeah, yeah.